Welcome back to Business Matters with me, Roger Hearing, and also my guest, Andy Euler. We were hoping to link through to Talat Ramadan in Beirut, but I fear our connections have not been good. We are, the gremlins of connections have not helped us. But Andy, you're with me, which is great. And now we're going to talk about a subject I know you have an interest in. It's, well, to do with cryptocurrency, because the headlines have been pretty stark. Crypto crisis, crypto crash. It's all about the collapse of the cryptocurrency trading firm FTX. Now, the head of the US Senate Banking Committee says the country's financial watchdogs must investigate. Sherrod Brown said consumers could not be protected and the stability of the banking system guaranteed unless it was clear what abuses and misconduct had taken place at the company. Well, the owner of FTX has apologised to customers for its financial plight, saying they were caused by poor internal processes. Reports in the US suggest it lent billions of dollars to a related firm for investments that then went wrong. Well, for those of us still, well, frankly, a bit bamboozled by how exactly entities like Bitcoin, currencies unattached to any actual store of value, actually work, well, the massive recent drop in their value seems like confirmation that it perhaps is all based on, well, hot air. But guys, I guess I'm prejudiced. Let's talk now to someone who really does know all about this, who is Merav Ozer, a blockchain and cryptocurrency expert and fintech professor at Rutgers Business School in the US. Merav, thanks for being with us. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here. First of all, I mean, what exactly happened with this company FTX, as far as we know?
First of all, thank you for having me, and I'm happy to be here. So FTX is, I have to put things in the right context. FTX is basically a centralized exchange, a centralized crypto exchange. It has nothing to do with Bitcoin or Ethereum, and we have to distinguish with between the blockchain technology and what's happening with FTX. FTX, in fact, is, as I said, a centralized exchange, and very much like London Stock Exchange, but London Stock Exchange, on the other hand, is regulated. Right. So because it's regulated, it cannot do the things that FTX allowed itself to do. Like this relationship that it had with another affiliate or subsidiary of them, which is Alameda Research, which acted more like a trading platform. So basically it did trading for FTX, something that an exchange, a regulated exchange, like London Stock Exchange, cannot do, right? You cannot do trading and also provide their services as a trading platform. So that cannot go hand in hand. And because they were unregulated, they allowed themselves to do all this kind of taking all this leverage and doing all these risky bets. And that's something that a regulated exchange will not do. And I have been advocating for years, I think since the collapse of Bitcoins in 2017, that all these crypto exchanges, the centralized one, whether it's Coinbase and the Gemini, the FTX, FTX wasn't around at that time, in fact. It came around in just 3 years ago. But I was saying that they should be regulated like any other exchange.
But Merav, isn't the point, if I can just interrupt you, isn't the point, a whole point of cryptocurrencies that they are unregulated? No. They're not beholden to a central bank or anything like that. They just operate outside normal systems.
Here's what people need to understand. There's a blockchain technology, which is about peer-to-peer system, peer-to-peer, decentralized and all of that. That's a technology. And it has nothing to do with trading the token itself. The trading of the token itself is equivalent, and I mentioned that many times in my writings for years, very much equivalent to any trading. So you should treat it as trading like any trading, whether it's an equity or an FX or a bond or any other asset class, because this is just trading. It has nothing to do with the technology itself. Technology itself, you're right. Technology itself is about decentralization and peer-to-peer and no intermediaries, which we do understand. The regulators and the governments understand that this is how we do this now that they're talking about digital dollar and the pound and all of that. We're talking about the utilization of the technology, which has nothing, Nothing to do with the trading.
Okay. So I think we get the point that there's a trading system, and separate to that, the actual cryptocurrencies themselves. But I mean, in the case of FTX, another big exchange, Binance, was at one point in a position it seemed to buy it out, and then they backed off, and this left the whole thing falling apart. I mean, it seems odd that this is working in this way. Is it that Binance sniffed that something was bad with FTX? Was FTX, in fact, never really viable?
Yes. I mean, this is exactly, you know, I think that Binance has kind of like came in and out, so to speak. You know, at first, you know, they said, oh, we're going to drop all of our holdings in FTT, which is basically the token of FTX. FTX, you know, they issued their own token, which is called, has a sign as a symbol of FTT. And they held a big chunk of it. And they said they wanted, you know, to, you know, sell it off. And once they declared that, you know, the price of FTT started, you know, tumbling. And then they said, oh, no, we may be going to buy you out. And then, you know, they bailed out again from that. And they did, you know, even when they said that they're going to buy them out, they said they have to go through some kind of due diligence, like in any investment. If you're going to invest in something or bail out some company, you're going to do your due diligence first. So in the due diligence, I mean, that's what, you know, they're saying, you know, they're I've heard, you know, two reports. One is that, you know, but Bloomberg saying that they found that the gap between the liabilities and the assets is about $8 billion. And then Coinbase is talking about $6 billion. Nonetheless, it's in the billions.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Mira, if I can interrupt you, is that essentially it's like an old-fashioned problem to do with companies not really, or this particular company, not having a valid base. It's not to do with doubts about cryptocurrencies themselves.
Exactly.
But in that case, it seems odd, doesn't it, that cryptos have had such a bad run in the wake of this, that people have been pulling out. There's been the value of Bitcoin particularly has dropped dramatically. So why is that happening?
So I don't understand why Bitcoin has to go down or Ethereum has to go down, because there's nothing to do with the collapse of FTX. FTX, okay, just an exchange. It's like, you know, let's say that, I know, like, it's not even the major exchange of, you know, Binance's, but by any measure, they are the largest crypto centralized exchange. And we, by volume, by number of transactions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if anything, they're not even the major one to begin with. And so you have like a centralized exchange, you know, let's say that one of the exchanges is going not to, you know, going bankrupt. Does that mean that trading is going to stop? That means, you know, that the companies who are traded are going to, you know, vanish? No. I mean, the way that people think about it and the panic that you hear is like out of proportion, because it has nothing to do with what Bitcoin is still, you know, exists, and Ethereum still exists, and technology still happen, the applications are still going on, and all kinds of other things are still happening. And this is just an exchange that is not going to, okay, we're not going to trade on FTX, but we have other marketplaces
to trade on. One of the interesting things, I mean, I've been observing this for a while in terms, it does seem almost uniquely a volatile market. I mean, if you just see the ups and the downs, not just in Bitcoin, Dogecoin, all the others, it seems very extreme. It's almost in the nature of the beast that it's always going to be very volatile, isn't it?
Yeah, it's volatile. And another thing that people have to understand, it's a very illiquid relatively to, let's say, equities and bonds and every other asset class. It's relatively very, very, very small market. I mean, we're talking about, it's not even 10% of what equities are or bonds. Because it is so illiquid, just think about, you know, the analogy would be to think about a penny stock. A penny stock, you know, if you, you know, a little move, you know, event, you know, immediately, you know, can change the value of the price, right, in any direction, because, you know, it's not so liquid. Same idea here. I mean, basically, it's not as liquid as the equities that we know. So every little change, you have these fluctuations going up and down in the thousands and hundreds of percentage.
And that's why it's so volatile. But Marav, just as we end this bit, I mean, to someone like myself and others, you look at this and you say, well, it doesn't have any base of value, the whole point of the way that crypto blockchain works, it seems to many people to be based on, as I say, almost thin air, really, and that at any moment it could disappear completely. I mean, looking at it like that, am I just very, very ignorant and prejudiced, or is there something fundamentally a bit dodgy about it all?
Well, it depends. You have to look at each and every token, each and every as a use case. Dogecoin, yes, Dogecoin is only thin air because it was in fact, you know, issued as a joke, as you know, right? You know, I mean, whoever issued that, you know, it was all a joke, and you know, it has no business or economic use cases. Ethereum. Probably not. Ethereum has a very, you know, significant business use cases. Is that thin air? I mean, definitely not. It's not thin air. I mean, the price is fluctuating. It has nothing to do with what it represents. It's like saying, you know, Apple is thin air just because the price has started, you know, fluctuating. And we know it's not because they have products. It is a sustainable economic, you know, business. And Ethereum definitely should not fluctuate the way it's supposed to be. And so does Bitcoin, because Bitcoin does have a use case, which is peer-to-peer payment system globally. And that's what it was supposed to be in the beginning.
Yeah.
And greed got in the way, and people started, you know, trading it, you know, like any asset class, because, you know, people got greedy.
That's at the root of a lot of this, of course, greed, and we shouldn't ignore that. But yes, people have made a lot of money and lost a lot of money. But Meirav, thank you so much for guiding us through what I have to say still bamboozles me to some extent, but fascinating insights there. Meirav Azeer, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you. Andy, are you convinced? Yeah.
Am I convinced about
I don't know. I mean, I was giving poor Meirav a very hard time about cryptos. No. But what do you think? What's your view?
You know what's so funny, Roger? I was at an Oxford-style debate last night. I'm not kidding you. At the University of Texas, and it was a whole sort of discussion about whether or not policymakers should be basically galvanizing firms to Bitcoin mine and have cryptocurrency mines here in Texas. Sort of the idea being, they were thinking about it more in terms of energy use. And-